If you've been dreaming of starting your own podcast or have a friend who has been talking about it for years, one that actually launches and becomes your main marketing engine, now's your moment. For a limited time, I'm offering my Podcast First Launch Companion at its beta price and for the Black Friday sale with a free podcast power hour strategy session, which is bookable within 60 days, all included just for you. This is a step-by-step system for coaches, service providers, online business owners who want to finally go live with a podcast, get heard, and use their podcast as the sales tool they've always known it could be. There's no code needed. Just use the link in the description below, grab the Podcast First Launch Companion, and your free podcast power hour is automatically yours. Do you already have a podcast? Do you at least know someone who should start one? If so, forward them this link. The sale ends December 1st at midnight. So if you are ready to get your voice out there and make marketing your business easier, let's launch your podcast. Hey there, welcome to Podcast First Marketing. If this is your first episode, I am so glad you're here. Welcome. I'm Allison, a podcast strategist who helps entrepreneurs launch, grow, and monetize their podcast by turning listeners into clients through their own offers and services. Before we dive in, if you've been feeling unsure whether your podcast is actually working for your business, maybe you're spinning your wheels with what to do next, how can you make sales from this? How can it become the podcast first marketing you want? I want to invite you to book a podcast power hour. It is a focused 60-minute strategy session with me where we dig into your podcast content, we look at your offers, we look at your whole business in general, and together we figure out what's working, maybe what's not working. We map out exactly what to do next, and it's perfect if you are stuck, need a fresh set of eyes looking at your podcast strategy. Go grab a spot at the link in the description or go to allisonnich.com/power hour. I want your podcast to come first and I want to help you do that. So make sure to check out that link if you're interested. Today, I'm going to walk you through three of the most common mistakes seen in podcasting. And more importantly, what you can do differently so that your podcast can become the platform that actually works for your business. We want it to lead to clients. We want it to grow your business, all the things. So I'm sure as we go through some of these mistakes that you are going to realize that you maybe have been making one of them, maybe all three of them. That's okay, because when I look back, I know I have, and many of my clients have too. So we want to work through these and get you going in the right path. And that's why I want to share them with you today, because once I started recognizing these mistakes and shifting away from them, helping my clients shift away from them, I've realized just how powerful a podcast can be when you have it set up strategically. There are hobby podcasters out there. I'm assuming you don't want to be a hobby podcaster. You want to use your podcast as a marketing tool to help you land clients. And we see so many big name podcasters doing so well, and even other podcasters who are getting clients left and right from their podcast. And what I want you to remember is that, one, they've probably been podcasting for a long time. So think about that. They've gotten all these little wiggles out of their belt and they've really come to what they know works for them. Two, they probably came with a huge audience. And that does help a lot. And three, which we don't always know, they probably have tons of help behind the scenes. My guess is if you're listening to my show, this little show, that you do not have that yet. We want to get you there. We all want to get there. So if you've been wondering maybe why your podcast feels like it could be stuck, or if you're just starting and you want to get it started on the right track, we want to avoid these three mistakes, okay? So as we go through these, listen to see if you've been doing some of these. Maybe you're like, oh, I didn't even realize I was, and you can change it moving forward, or you could prevent yourself from doing any of these moving forward. So let's get into the three mistakes. Mistake number one is teaching too much. Now, I know this sounds very counterintuitive, and you may be thinking, well, I'm supposed to be teaching, because we've all been told to add value and show your expertise. And so naturally, we want to pack in as much as we can and teach our clients, or our soon-to-be clients, our listeners, as much as possible. And as a former teacher myself, this is what I do. It's so hard for me to not give everything away sometimes. But here is why this is a mistake or a problem. When you have every episode teaching step by step, like I said, just especially in the majority of your episodes, it's okay to do it, you know, here and there. That's okay. But that's also my opinion. But I love the here's what you need to do episodes. I love those. And you're giving your listeners everything they need. But what you're doing is you're giving them everything they need to go off and do it themselves. You're basically giving them a DIY. And you're closing that loop of how they can work with you. That curiosity gap of, well, that is so amazing and that's what you can do, but how can I do it for me? And then that's when they want to work with you. You're letting them leave the episode going, that was so helpful. I can go do this myself. And again, that may be what you want and you like doing that. But that also means that you're not having or giving them the information where they need to reach out to help from you and learn more from you because they feel like they've already gotten the whole solution. Your podcast should spark that curiosity of, well, how can she help me do this? And then they want to work with you. They want to find out more from you. Now, there are some times that I will do this, or I have in the past, where I want you to walk away with something that you can go fix on your own. I will leave little things in there that you can go do, especially if it's a quick fix. There's no need to pay to have somebody do something or to have me help them do something that they would spend 10 minutes on. I'm going to help them. Here's what you need to do. Go fix it. So these are the things that I look for, though. When I'm doing the podcast audits for my clients, when I review someone's episodes, if they're teaching so much that they're either one, not giving them anything to want to work with you on, or two, it's overwhelming. Because if you're giving them too much information, they don't even know where to start or how to work with you. So that's the first mistake. I want you to teach, but don't do it to the point where it's like you're not going to teach a whole course in your episodes, right? We want them to buy the course. We want them to work with you. We want you to help them do it with them. So if you're like with my previous service, my services are very personalized and specific to my client, even now. So maybe this isn't too big of an issue for you, but something to be very mindful of. So like I can teach in my, basically what I'm saying is I can teach in my episodes, but I also take my services, my coaching into a very specific, here's how I'm going to help you. But still, we want to leave enough curiosity to want to work with you. So hopefully that made sense. That's mistake number one. Okay, moving into mistake number two. You are aiming your content, or you could be. I didn't want to accuse you of this. Mistake number two is aiming your content at the wrong audience. This one happens without even realizing it. In fact, I did this at the start of this podcast, this whole podcast that I just started back in July. I was aiming my content for those who have yet to start a podcast. And that's what I was doing in my previous offers. And I started realizing that I need to be talking to those who already have a podcast. And not to say I can't help someone who wants to launch a podcast. If you do not have a podcast yet, that is my favorite thing to do. And I love to see new shows start up. So I can certainly still help you, and this podcast will still help you. But I want to direct my content to be about growth and getting sales through your podcast and making the podcast your first priority when it comes to marketing your business. And I wasn't quite doing that in my very first launch episodes. So I was able to dial that in pretty quickly, but that just goes to show that even me who's teaching this, it still happens. We don't realize it. So with that being said, what you really need to pay attention to is who are you creating episodes for? A lot of podcasters end up creating content that really just resonates more for people who are in their same niche, and it doesn't really target their actual ideal clients. This is why I always say that when you record an episode, have someone in mind. Maybe it's an ideal client, maybe it's a current client, a past client, but have that person in mind as you plan and outline your episode and when you sit down to record them. That helps so much and it keeps you on track. For example, let's just say you're a business coach or we have a business coach and episodes sound like deep dive conversations that they would have with another coach. That's amazing content. You're going to learn a lot from it, but it's not content that speaks directly to the ideal client who is still trying to solve those basic problems. You almost have to remember where you were before you got to the role you're in. Like, think back to what did you know and what did you not know? So when you're creating these episodes, you need to ask yourself, am I speaking to the person that would hire me? Or am I accidentally creating content that might just be talking about what other people do? You just have to remember that something that may sound simple to you does not mean that your ideal client thinks it's simple. Things to me that I'm like, gosh, I feel like every podcaster knows that. Sometimes I have several clients that come to me and they don't. And I'm like, wow, I really have to remember that just because I know it and I think it sounds simple doesn't mean that they're going to know it. So remember who needs your help and speak to them on their level. And again, this is a big thing I look at when I'm doing audits. I can give a few simple shifts in language or just different examples for you to completely reframe those episodes to speak to the buyers. So that's number two, is really focusing on who you're talking to. Okay. And mistake number three, this is a big one because this is what is going to lead to people working with you. And that is, the mistake is treating call to actions as an afterthought or not having them at all. So I want you to think about your last few episodes that you've recorded or even planned. And are you actually telling your listeners where to go next? Would they even know how to work with you? If they do, amazing. If they don't, I do hear this all the time when I'm listening to podcasts. Someone will deliver an amazing episode. They share these amazing insights. And then at the very end, they just end the show and maybe they'll mumble something like, oh, and by the way, I have this offer if you're interested. By that point, at the very end, your listeners may have already tuned out or they turned it off because they know you're wrapping up the episode. And a lot of people know that, well, there's not much else to hear at the end, or maybe it is just a call, you know, the outro music, and they know what you're going to say anyway. So when a call to action feels rushed and just kind of tacked on, it's not going to land as an invitation to work with you, not intentionally anyway. Your call to action should feel like a natural part of the conversation, like it's leading to the next logical step. They really shouldn't even know that the episode is ending yet. It almost should just be like it's an extension of what you just talked about. So let me give you some examples, because I know I'm that type of person. I'm like, just can you give me an example? So here's one. Okay. Imagine a business coach is recording an episode about time management, and she's sharing strategies for prioritizing your schedule and creating this more focused time in your workday. A rushed call to action might sound like, oh, and if you want coaching, reach out to me. Or they don't even say anything at all. Like, it's not really a direct invitation or even telling them where to go to find the coaching or how they should get to her or whatever. We can't assume that everyone will go to the show notes or the episode description and try to find you or to find the links. Give them what they are needing. Some people are listening while they're driving. That's the beauty of podcasting, is they can listen anywhere. And if they are busy, they're not going to go straight to the link. If you at least tell them, they might remember it, they might not, or they're at least going to come back to it. So what this could look like is they've kind of finished up the end of what they're talking about, and they might say, and if you're listening and realizing that time management is one of the things holding your business back, that's exactly what I help my clients with inside my coaching program or inside my whatever. Together, we create a plan that frees up your time while actually moving your business forward. Go to mywebsite.com/coaching, whatever it is, to learn more and click the link in the description below this episode. So at least she would be telling them what to do. Do you hear that difference? It's not just like tossing in that last minute call to action. Oh, I have to have a call to action. Let me just say, you know, do whatever. I used to say, just send me a DM. Well, who wants to do that? And what are they sending me a DM about? Like, I've learned so much just myself. So the second one I gave you, it doesn't sound like the episode is quite ending yet. It's like she's connecting the dots between the problem she had talked about in the episode, and she's kind of like giving the support that she provides. She offers coaching. That's how your call to action should feel inside your episode. It's like an invitation to work with you, not just like a, here's my call to action. Let me give you a few more examples so that this really hits home for you. Let's go with a fitness coach. And I'm not a fitness coach, so this is just something I came up with. But imagine a fitness coach is recording an episode about meal prepping for busy entrepreneurs. Okay, at the very end, she may have given all these tips for how to meal prep, whatever. And at the very end, she may just say, if you want the meal plans or coaching, send me a message or, you know, whatever. It's not really giving exactly what to do. So what we could do to be more natural and kind of integrated with the episode is, again, if you're listening and thinking, I know meal prep would make my week so much easier, but I don't even know where to start. That's exactly what I walk my clients through inside my one-on-one coaching program. We create a personalized plan that actually fits into your life so you can stick with it long term. Do you hear the difference? It's not just like it's dropped at the end, like, here's, do this. It's like kind of walking them to that next step, but it's tied directly to the episode content. So it's telling them what to do next. Like, you've taught them all this stuff or you've given them all this information. They need to know what to do next. And that, I mean, it's to work with you. If you want to make money from your podcast and you are using it to market, it has to be to working with you. And I'll give you one more example. I was fired up when I was planning this episode. So I came up with different examples. This is an example for a copywriter. And again, I'm not a copywriter either. So hopefully some of this information isn't wrong, but I try to make it generic. But okay, so you're picturing this copywriter doing a podcast episode on how to write a high converting website page. Let's just say the about page. And they may just end the show with, if you need help with copy, I can write it for you. But it's not like telling them what to do. So instead, and you don't have to start every call to action with, if you're listening, I just kind of kept coming up with this, but like, if you realize, so that it could say, if you realize that your about page isn't connecting with your audience in a way you want it to, that's exactly the kind of transformation I create for clients inside my VIP copywriting package, or name the package, whatever it is. I take what feels overwhelming and I turn it into messaging that makes your ideal client feel like you're speaking directly to them. So again, I'm not a copywriter. I don't know if that's what they would say, but I feel like that was pretty good. So the key is connecting your episode to where you want them to go next. So this is very helpful to know this, but while you're planning, when you're planning your episode, where do you want them to go from there? Instead of just like bolting at the end of an episode or not giving a call to action or just a very quick call to action that's very vague, you're connecting the problem in the episode to the solution that you provide. Remember, problem, give them a solution. Now, not telling them everything that you would do, the solution is working with you. You could give them tips and tricks of the solution, but the solution in general is working with you. So, I mean, that could be its own episode right there. I think mistake number three is its own episode. But call to actions are very important, because if you are giving them all this good information and content, tell them how to work with you. If they don't know, they won't work with you. It makes sense now, right? And here's another thing. If you do not have a current offer, this is something I hear often, like, I don't have a current offer, or maybe you have like a membership that's not currently open, get them on your email list. You should have a call to action in every episode. And if you don't have a specific offer that ties to that episode, at least get them on your email list. I'm going to be working on this myself a lot here in this next or this last quarter of 2025. I have not been prioritizing that. This is like a really side tangent, but I let my email list go because I went, well, if you've listened to the beginning of this podcast and the launch, I went through a midlife crisis, switched my email to something different. And so now I don't have the right subscribers. I have a handful. So I'm going to be really working on this. But that's to say that you always, always, always have a call to action, whether it's to an offer or to an email list, which would be a freebie, or even just having them sign up for your newsletter directly. I'm hearing a lot of people do that. I will be talking more about how podcasting and email go hand in hand a lot more coming up, because I'm really seeing the benefits of this. So these three mistakes show up in almost every podcast I review, whether it's one or all three. But once you can correct them, the change in listener engagement and even conversions or reaching out to you or signing up for your emails, it's going to change. It might not happen overnight. It could, but it may, making these changes, give it 30, 60, 90 days and see what happens. And if you're listening to this thinking, I might be making one or more of these mistakes, please do not stay stuck. Book a podcast power hour with me and we'll look at your episodes together. I can help you clarify your next steps and make sure that your podcast is leading to your offers. It's the easiest way to get quick clarity without spinning your wheels. And it's the first step in working with me. If eventually you want to look at the bigger picture of a podcast first growth intensive, which is way more hands-on strategy than that, but a podcast power hour is very affordable. So go grab a session at the link in the description or go to allisonnitch.com/power hour. My goal is to get your podcast doing what I know you want it to. You want it to make you money and you want it to keep marketing simpler for you. So your challenge this week is listen back to one of your episodes or look through the script of your new one, whatever you have. I don't know. And I want you to look at these three mistakes. Keep these in mind. Are you teaching too much in that episode? Are your listeners going to walk away knowing everything they need to know and not need to work with you? Are you talking to those maybe already in your niche or somebody else when you really, meaning that you sound more like them than yourself, instead of who you want as a client? Are you talking to your ideal clients? Are you talking to someone that you want to work with you? That's the better way to say that. And I guess the biggest mistake is, are you skipping over a strong call to action that will send that listener to where they can work with you? If you do not have a call to action, please at least have those in there now, even if it's to a freebie. Again, whatever that episode ties to, link that as the next best step. And if nothing else, get them on an email list. Even catching one of these mistakes, it will help you start turning your podcast into that, what I know you want, which is taking that listener and turning them into a client. And I will be talking more, like I said, about email and podcasting, because if your podcast is not leading them to being a client, your email will. So that's why we at least want to get them to your email list. Next week, we're going to be getting into the metrics that actually matter when it comes to growing your podcast and seeing how it's doing. And I promise, downloads will not be one of them. So if you've ever wondered, what do I actually need to be looking at, or how to know what is working, what's not working, please come back next week because you don't want to miss it. And I will see you then.